It's all about not how much scripture we know, but how we know the Lord of the book, how well we know him. Of course, he has revealed to us his word, his integrous word that can never be changed in the Bible. But it's more important that we know him.
Honoring God is not about being religious. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Find out more with Jeremy Pearsons and his special guest, John Bevere, next, here on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I am your host all this week, Jeremy Pearsons, in from my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and thrilled to be joined at the table once again today by a world-renowned speaker and author, John Bevere. Thank you,
Jeremy,
sir, for being here again.
It's so good to be with
and,
you.
And I've noticed this about you, John. Every time I say something like how great the book is or how great your speaking is, you always
crawl under the chair.
You do. You deflect it to the Lord, and I appreciate that. But at the same time, man, I want you to know that, and I want you to hear that. And
you're honoring.
You need to let the Lord be glorified through you, man.
That's right.
And I so appreciate what you've brought to the body of Christ, what you've brought to our church here, Eagle Mountain Church. I mean, the times that you've come, and I know you've heard this before, but when you leave, there is a wake of the glory of God. There is a wake of mercy and everything that the Lord said would follow you, And we appreciate that, man. We so value the word of the Lord that you bring to us. And I know for a fact that that happens in so many places around the world where you go. And your wife, Lisa, as well. I'm doing
what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
Just like you're doing what you're called to do. Like everybody out there is doing what they're called to do. I wrote a book before this called Driven by Eternity, which deals with the eternal. And I write about a man in a paper mill who affected millions of people. Mm-hmm. He was a janitor in a paper mill because he affected a man named Mike, who that guy Mike impacted about 10,000. He has 10,000 clients. He's an accountant. He's led several hundred of them to the Lord. And that guy Mike really impacted my life. Mm-hmm. And now here I am through our books. Our books are in the millions. They're in 53 languages. God has given me the honor of being able to affect all those people. Well, really, who's really affected him? The paper mill janitor who affected Mike, who affected me. If all of us just do our part, we'll touch countless lives. Yeah. We'll leave that wake of glory. I've been in the presence of women who are pastors' wives or wives of businessmen, and I go into their homes, and that glory, what you're talking about, is in their homes. I feel it when I leave their homes. Yeah. It's all about having a close, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. Yeah. If all of us do that, I mean, we would have the presence of God abounding. I look at Jesus, and I know I'm getting off on a tangent here, but Jesus affected atmospheres everywhere he went. If you look at many people today, Jeremy, they don't affect atmospheres. They can maybe speak scriptures, but they're not affecting atmospheres. If you're stronger in God than the sinner is in his sin, you'll control the atmosphere. If the sinner's stronger in his sin than you are in God, he'll control the atmosphere.
Wow.
That's why demons would respond when Jesus would walk into a temple. And so that's the thing. It's all about not how much scripture we know, but how we know the Lord of the book, sure, how well we know him. Of course, he has revealed to us his word, his integrous word that can never be changed in the Bible. But it's more important that we know him, because the spirit gives life, the letter kills.
Yeah.
So that's why I love being around you so much.
Well, no, that's why I love being with you, man. And I so appreciate what you're saying, because I don't think I would have known how to put my finger on it before what you just said. But that's what comes out in your ministry and in Lisa's. Of course, your whole family, you guys, your sons are involved in this with you.
It's amazing to know
your sons. I mean, you can see it in them. You can hear it in them. They just want to be with you. They just want to do what you're doing, because it's my dad and I'm supposed to, because they respect it. They honor it. And when you see the fruit of that, and you're talking about changing atmospheres, and we're going to get into some of this week, because I really believe that so much of that begins in our home. And your life, you and Lisa, your family, you're a testimony of the grace and goodness of God beginning in a home and literally going from your house into 50-something languages, 200-and-something countries or whatever it is on every continent but Antarctica. I've heard you say that. And, you know, just keep pressing. You'll get there. And what we're dealing with, this is so right in line with what we're dealing with. And, you know, you're talking to us about these people that have, this one has affected this one and this one has affected the thousands. And you were one of the thousands and now the millions are being affected. Right. And, you know, if you never said that, if you never told us that sitting here, this viewing audience, if nobody in the world ever knew that, God knows it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is not cliche. That is, oh, well, God, no. God knows it.
See, I personally believe God has designed every one of us to touch countless numbers of people, but it may not be directly. You know, my liver is not a very noticeable part of my body, okay? My legs are. You know, you people get attention for legs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear people say all the time, "Woo, man, that's a good set of legs you got." Whoa. But then sometimes they'll never say, "Wow, that's a great liver you got."
Right.
Your liver affects your entire body, right?
Thank you.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
You don't see your liver. Right. It's a very unnoticeable part.
Right.
Remember, Paul said God's put a greater importance on the unnoticeable parts. Mm-hmm. I believe there's people there that we're going to find out at the judgment seat. They affected millions and millions of lives when they, in their own life, just lived in one neighborhood and never traveled outside that neighborhood because they affected one person maybe, who affected another, who affected countless, who affected millions. Mm-hmm. And I believe God's designed that for every one of us because at the judgment seat, he wants to reward all of his children greatly.
Yeah.
And if we'll just do what we're called to do, to be that person, walk the life he's called us to walk, we will touch countless people. Even if we don't see it in this life, we'll see it at the judgment seat.
We had talked about starting somewhere today, and I want to start, let's go to Psalm 91 because
Psalm
I have the
91.
Lord talking to
it's
me about
Psalm.
This. And yeah, hopefully you've got a few things marked there. If you've never read it, you'll soon enjoy it, I know. But let's look at this because this stands out to me when we begin to talk about honor and what we're dealing with in the book you've written, Honor's Reward, and this message that the Lord's given you to preach. In Psalm 91, we hadn't intended to look at this, so give me a moment to find it. Towards the end of this chapter, of course, you know this as the Lord speaking and saying in the beginning, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, you abide under that shadow. And it's the benefit, the reward, right, of protection that comes from knowing him and walking with him. But you get down look at verse 14. Because he has set his love on me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, what we're going to get into is the reward that comes as a result of us walking in first and foremost honor towards God and then honor towards the ones he sends, honor to the ones he places in our lives, and there is a reward for that. And John, if I'm going to honor you, if I'm going to write you a check and say, let me be a blessing to you, at this point in my life, I can be a blessing to you. It's probably not the biggest blessing you've ever received, but I can do that. But this is not Jeremy writing you a check. This is God Almighty saying, I
will honor you.
Well,
he said that in 1 Samuel 2:30. He said, those who honor me, I will honor them.
Yeah.
Those who lightly esteem me, I will lightly esteem them.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because that's one of the key parts of this book and this message. Talk to us about what you see in that scripture and what comes, not just wrapped up in those few words, but you mentioned you see this as a thread throughout all of scripture. God saying, you honor me, I'll honor you. Those who despise or lightly esteem me, I will lightly esteem them. Talk to us a little bit about that and where you see that as it touches other areas of life and how we can begin to walk this thing.
There's a principle that Jesus says over and over again in the Gospels. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. Well, we could replace the word receives and not change the scripture by saying, he who honors you honors me. He who honors me honors the Father who sent me. And God said, you honor me, I'll honor you. If you look at what Jesus said, you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done to me. What you've done to me, Jesus, you've done to the Father. And the Father says, I'll do to you. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, 41 and 42, he honors a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who honors a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. He who honors or gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water shall by no means lose his reward. What is Jesus dealing with there? He's dealing with the three levels of human beings we will ever come in contact with. Those who are above us in authority, our leaders. Those who are on our level of authority, our peers. And those who are entrusted to our authority, whom Jesus refers to as little ones. Mm-hmm. Honoring each of these levels of authority brings a certain reward from heaven.
Now, there is nobody that does not fall within one of those three categories.
No, nobody.
I mean,
nobody.
You can't get outside of that, which is one of the things that I really notice in what you're preaching, what you're saying here, is that this affects every arena of life.
Right.
There's no arena of life untouched by what
now,
you're
the
saying.
First one, he who honors a prophet in the name of a prophet, Jesus is specifically speaking of church authority. But I take time to show it in the book, the principles apply to the other three areas of authority that God's put in our lives, because God's put four areas of authority in our life. I mean, we've got to understand this as Americans, especially as Americans. I know we're speaking to nations all over the world, but I've found that Americans sometimes are the hardest people in the whole world to preach the things of God to. And the reason is quite simple. We are a people trying to understand kingdom principles with a democratic mindset.
Right.
Okay. The kingdom of God is that. It's a kingdom. It's not a democracy. Democracy is great for America, but it's not the kingdom. If you try to relate to God with a democratic mindset, you and God will be on two different playing fields, okay? He is a king. He has rank, order, and authority, okay? So we've got to relate to him with a kingdom mentality. The Bible is very clear that all authority is of God. All legitimate authority in our lives. And there's four areas of authority. There's civil, there's family, there's social, and there's church. All those areas of authority are of God. The authority is of God. Now, some people, walls go up. I mean, we're right now probably, people are going, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't like that. Well, the reason walls go up is because, and I want you to stay with me before you go click. Some people, many people, have had dishonest, cruel, mean authorities. Now, let's make this clear. The Bible says all authority is of God, but the Bible does not say all authority is godly.
Right.
There are, you know, the behavior may not be of God, but the authority is. Mm-hmm. And that will help people understand that. Well, if we honor authority, we're honoring God because God is the one that delegated that authority. So if you look at if we honor our bosses, God says, if you honor them, there's a certain reward that comes. Let me give you an example. There's a guy, I shared it in the book. He was next in line to be promoted to vice president in his company. And he had worked for the company for years. It was a big insurance company. And the time came for the promotion. They gave it to another man. This is back in the mid-1980s. And he was at a friend of mine's church, a guy who's actually on my board. And he was just devastated. I mean, he had earned it. And so he went up to his pastor, and his pastor had preached that Sunday morning, believe it or not, on not avenging yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And went up to his pastor. He said, look, I was next in line for promotion to be vice president of our corporation, and they gave it to another man. And he said, there's only one reason they did that, because I'm black, African-American, and he's white. And he said, that's discrimination, and I have legal recourse, and I was getting ready to start my legal recourse this week, but you just preached this not avenging yourself. You've messed me up. So my friend, who is a pastor, he was a 5,000-member church, he said, well, do you want to do this God's way, or do you want to do it your way? Do you want God to avenge you, or do you want to avenge yourself? He says, I want God to avenge me. I want to do it God's way, but I need you to pray for me. So they prayed, Lord, we commit this case into your hands. So the next morning, you know what he does? He walks into the guy's office that got his promotion. This is Monday morning after Sunday service. And he said, I just want to be the first one here to congratulate you on your promotion, and I want you to know I'm going to be your best employee.
Wow.
What is that? That is valuing, honoring a man that got his promotion.
Yeah.
And a company that took away his promotion. Now, this takes faith to walk in.
Sure.
Okay? That's why Jesus said, when you're talking about taking vengeance for yourself, well, Jesus really find faith on the earth. If you go read it in context, that's what he's talking about. So for several weeks, nothing happens, Jeremy. I mean, that's the way God always is. His deliverance always comes, but it usually comes later than you want. And so for several weeks, nothing happens. And then a couple months later, he gets a call from a huge insurance company in the same city whose world headquarters were in Virginia. And they said, you know, we've been watching you, and we'd like to talk to you about hiring you. He said, I'm not interested. I've been with this company for years. I've built a reputation of integrity. I have clients established. I have benefits established. I'm not interested. No, thank you. They said, please, please, would you just meet with us for one lunch? He said, you're wasting your time. They said, we don't think we are. We'd love to meet with you. He said, all right. So he goes to the restaurant and they said, look, we want to hire you. He says, I am not at all interested. I do not want to start over again. I've worked for this company for years. I don't want to build my reputation of integrity. They said, look, would you just go home and talk to your wife for the next week? And you guys figure out what you want us to pay you. And then let's meet here a week from today and you tell us what you want us to pay you. He said, you're wasting your time. I don't want to change. They said, please, would you do this? He said, okay. So he doesn't talk to his wife all week. The night before the lunch, he says to his wife, I don't want to change jobs. I don't want to start all over again and building integrity among the employees of the company. I'm too old to do this. I've got my clients and all this established. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? He says to his wife, he says, I'm going to do the most ridiculous thing I can think of. I'm going to multiply my current salary. Now, he's a junior executive for this company. By three times, They will laugh me out of the restaurant that will end this thing. So he does it. The next day, they meet at the restaurant. They go, well, did you come up with the salary you'd like us to pay you? He goes, yeah, I did. So he pulls out the letter, right, with three times the salary. Mm-hmm. They go, no, we don't want to see how much you want to pay us. We want to first of all show you how much we want to pay you. They slide a letter across the lunch table. He picks up the letter and starts reading it. They want to pay him four times. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Four times. The guy goes into shock.
I'm sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's in shock. They think his shock is the fact that it's not enough. So while he's not saying anything, his shock, they up the salary more and add more benefits. Finally, he goes, gentlemen, he says, look, I'm a Christian. I want to go home and talk to my wife about this and pray about it. They said, fine. You just let us know. So he goes home. He and his wife pray. And the Lord said, son, you put this in my hands. Yeah. You committed this case to me. You honored them. This is my vindication. I am honoring you. Yeah. Take this job. It's my promotion.
Wow.
He took that job, Jeremy, and you know he's no longer in that city. He is in Virginia and is one of the top men of this worldwide headquarters now, 20 years later. Now, the thing is, what would have happened if he would have defended himself, if he would have done his legal recourse? He may have won,
sure. But
he never would have gotten the honor that God gave him.
Yeah.
He never would have been one of the top guys of this much larger insurance company now today. That's what this is all about. If we will just honor.
Yeah.
This is why Jesus said, they want you to walk your coat 1 mile, go two. Why do you want to be a slave when you can be a servant? Because the servant does the minimum requirement. The slave does the minimum requirement. The servant does the maximum potential. The slave has been stolen from. The servant gives.
Yeah, say that again, because that leapt off the page when
okay.
I read that. The slave and the servant, because we've got to identify where we fall in that.
We can never be slaves if we're servants.
Mm-hmm.
The servant does the slave does the minimum requirement. Yeah. The servant does the maximum potential. That's why Jesus said, don't be somebody's slave when you can be their servant. Go 2 miles.
Yeah.
They want your shirt, give them their cloak. You know, I remember when there was a guy that made one comment about me, and because of that one comment, it cost our ministry $10,000 in just a couple days. I was furious. And I was so upset. And I was praying about this, and the Lord said, why are you so upset? Why don't you give it to him? I thought, that's right. You know, I'm sitting there going, I've been stolen from, I'm going to get sevenfold. And the Lord said, why don't you give it to him? You get 100-fold.
Yeah.
I thought, whoa. So I went to my wife, I talked to her. I said, Lisa, what do you think? She goes, John, that's a great idea. So we prayed right there. We said, Lord, we just bless him with that $10,000. Now what's happened? All the anger left of being stolen from, all the tension and all left, and I was full of joy. And you know, 10 days later, a couple drives 1,500 miles to my front door, spends 5 minutes with me, hands me a card. I open up the card, and there's a check for our ministry for $10,000. I looked at Lisa, and I laughed. I said, one-fold, 99 to go. Isn't this great?
Yeah.
This is what Peter means when he says, who can harm you if you become a follower of what is good? When you live this life of honor, what can anybody do to harm you? Because anytime they do something wrong to you and you honor them, you're setting yourself up for a promotion, a blessing, a reward from heaven.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. If we see sinners honor sinners who honor them. It's not about that. It's about honoring people that treat you dishonorably.
Yeah.
It's about honoring people that have talked bad about you. It's about really doing what the kingdom's all about. This has changed my life,
yeah.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
It will change families. It will change churches. I have story after story after story in this book
about
how people's lives, the blessings that have come I could tell one tomorrow. You got to remind me on tomorrow's program, because if I start it now, we'll go way over time.
Okay.
But I'm so passionate. If Christians will start living in this, the blessing that God has for them will come into their homes, come into their churches, their businesses, their lives. And the thing is, those blessings would have never come because God knew the way the blessing would come would be by honoring, like Joseph did, honoring his brothers mm-hmm. when they totally dishonored him. Honoring God when he felt like God was holding back on him. 12 years.
Yeah.
He hasn't seen one ounce of his dream come to pass. And God brings the biggest test. Can you proclaim to these two prisoners the faithfulness of God when you haven't seen any faithfulness of God in your own life in 12 years? And he did. He could have looked at those guys and said, you had a dream, I had a dream once, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. You know, but he didn't. He honored God. He honored God by running from fornication, honored God by preaching the dreams. And what happened? Here comes the reward that he intended for him.
Yeah. I'm glad you said this, because I believe this is really going to get us into tomorrow's broadcast. But Proverbs chapter 3, I believe it is, in verse 5, that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding.
Yes.
Which says to me, the very opposite of trust, as far away from trust as I can get, trust in the Lord, is leaning on my own understanding.
Right.
It's not, it doesn't have anything to do with the devil,
so
the evil one.
So good.
It's, you're either trusting in him or you're leaning on your own understanding. Now, your own understanding would say, sue. Your own understanding
right.
would say, take legal action. Your own understanding would say, revenge, get back. Ah,
yep.
But trust in the Lord. And what we need to begin to see, and this is where we're going to go tomorrow, but this is, don't wait on this to just be coming naturally. I mean, this is a choice that you and I are faced with every day and must make, to honor God by honoring others and not depend. And tell me if this is what you're saying, not depend on our own understanding or the way we see, or the way that seems right,
right.
to a man.
Right.
The way that everybody else has done it, because our own understanding, I believe this with all my heart, that our own understanding will only get us as far as we've ever been. And I think at best, at the very best, it will get you as far as somebody else has been.
Right.
But trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord will take us places nobody's been. And when you put your trust in him, there's going to come a command like you're telling us today. Honor.
Yes.
Respect.
Yes.
Value. Value, value, value. And what you value, what does that mean? It means you'll pay for it.
When you think of honor, think of value, think of respect, think of uncommon. I mean, not treating something as common. Remember, the opposite of honor is to treat as common or ordinary.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you think of, you know, my wife is not ordinary common.
Right.
She's valuable.
Right.
You'll treat her differently.
Yes, you will.
Children, same way.
Yeah. We'll get into this. Praise God. We are out of time today. This time goes by so
flies
fast.
By, doesn't it?
Don't go anywhere. John and I will be back in just a moment.
Honor's Reward, the newest book from best-selling author John Bevere, underscores one reality. Understand the spiritual law of honor and practice it, and you will attract blessing.
God gives us a spiritual law in 1 Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me, I will honor them. Those who lightly esteem me, I'll lightly esteem them.
In Honor's Reward, John Bevere takes you deep into the Word and demonstrates how you value, respect, and treat others will determine your reward.
In the Gospels, you'll see it all over. People that honored Jesus greatly got a full reward. People that withheld honor got a small partial reward. Those who dishonored him got nothing.
In this passionate new book, Bevere takes on popular culture's resistance to give honor where it is due and provides every believer with the scriptural foundation for obedience.
So how do we honor God? Jesus said, you've done it to the least of these, my brethren. You've done it to me. What you've done to him, you've done to the Father. And the Father says, I'll do to you.
To order your copy of John Bevere's book, Honor's Reward, log on to kcm.org and order online. This book will revolutionize the way you live and is now available for just $18. To request your copy by phone, you may call us at 800-575-4455. You may also write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Make sure and order your copy of Honor's Reward by John Bevere today.
Honor's Reward, that's what we're talking about all this week with author, minister John Bevere. And I know what happens when you hear these words. I know what happens when you hear the word reward and you think, you know, your ears perk up and you think, oh, how can I get a hold of that? And it's either rewards from your company or a reward from junk mail that's coming. But this is on a whole other level. We are talking about the reward that comes from God. And when God says, I reward you, when God says, I honor you, you have not seen anything yet. John, talk to us just for a moment about who you believe, and I know what you're going to say here, but who you believe can benefit from getting a hold of this message.
Well, in the book, I talk about honor in the home. I talk about honor in the workplace, honor in church, honor in our civil with our civil lives. And so basically, the wife benefits, the husband benefits, the children benefits in honoring their parents. They live a long life, and it will go well for them. Your pastor will benefit. Your church people will benefit. So many, literally thousands of churches are going through. We have a curriculum with this. They're going through the whole curriculum, and they're getting back to us and saying their whole church has changed because people understand what it means now to honor everyone on your job place. So it's a book for everyone, Jeremy.
Basically, if you're alive, you've got vested interest in this book. Yes. It's for you. Today, we want to come into your home or your office or your car or wherever you're listening to this, and I want you to know something, that the very first step in honoring God is receiving what he calls valuable. And you know what he calls valuable? You. He said, you're valuable. He said, you're worth it. How did he say that? He sent the most precious gift he had to offer, and that was his son, Jesus. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then stop what you're doing. Don't wait any longer. Pray with me right now. Say this after me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you, and I repent of all my sin. Make me clean. Make me new. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your son. He lived a life on this earth, sinless and spotless. He died for my sins and he rose again. Jesus be the Lord of my life. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, we want to send you something. We want to send you these books. These are from my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. They want to put these things in your hand. Just some books to help you get started studying your Bible, getting into a good church, and knowing what the will of the Lord is for your life. You need to feed on these things every day of your life. We've got so much coming up this week. Stay plugged in. Join us again tomorrow. This is Jeremy Pearsons and John Bevere reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they have put together a special salvation package, which includes 5 books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the fullness of blessing. Take hold of the promises of God and receive the manifestation of the blessing without measure.
This is the day of miracles and healing.
We believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our righteousness.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November 13th through the 15th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Visit kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.